it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, we're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, in for Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. And we welcome in David Beauclair into the program. David, first and foremost, the biggest story of the day: Malik Willis, Logan Woodside, the quarterback play last night. One of my biggest takeaways from Mike Vrabel's press conference is the fact that he said that all along that was the plan, to start Malik in the first half and then to put in Logan Woodside in the second. But his comments last night about Malik's unwillingness to throw the football make me think differently. What do you think the game plan was last night with the quarterbacks?
No, I think that, I think it was probably – that was the plan, but not necessarily set in stone. And they got to halftime, and they said, you know, let's give them one more series, or maybe two, or whatever they decided on. See if he can settle into the pocket a little bit more. And to play, you know, he just addressed it again here in a press conference this afternoon. Said, it was clear that he wasn't comfortable doing that, wasn't ready to do that, I guess. So they decided that they had seen enough. But he was asked this afternoon, you know, was there a chance that Malik Willis could play the whole game? He said no, that, you know, we were definitely going to get Woodside in there. So, you know, exactly how far they planned to go with him, whether it was through the third quarter or, you know, like we say, one series in the second half, I don't know. But you know, there's no question that Malik Willis needs all the game reps he can get. I wouldn't be surprised if we see see sort of a similar approach going forward in the preseason here.
Yeah, and I think you make a fair point. David Beauclair is with us. I think you make a fair point that Malik Willis showed last night that he has a lot of things that he needs to get experience with. There's a lot of things that he needs to start getting comfortable with. Staying in the pocket and throwing the football is one of them. So with that considered, do you think it's fair that this backup quarterback position is kind of a battle for this position?
I don't think it's a battle so much as it's a contest between Malik Willis and what a backup quarterback is. I mean, just the whole, you know, I've said this from the beginning, you know, part of Ryan Tannehill's assertions and comments early on after the draft, I think, come from the fact that he knows that the Titans are going to make a decision at some point that Malik Willis is their quarterback, and at that point, let's assume it's next offseason. At that point, Malik Willis is not going to be a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill, but that's what you do with this position. So I think last night was just another example of that. It's, you know, was Malik Willis ready to be a starter even in a preseason game? No, he wasn't. And, you know, Mike Vrabel talked about it this afternoon. There are drills they work on every day during individual periods where he drops back, he feels pressure, he steps up, you know, practices protecting the ball, steps up, and then looks down the field again and makes a throw. And there were a couple situations like that last night where he didn't step up in the pocket and make the, you know, relock in on the coverage and then make the throw. He took off, and you know, so these are the kinds of things that he's worked through. And people, you know, we all want to pit this as a competition. You know, is he going to be the number two, and when is he going to be the number one? And that's not what it is with quarterbacks. That's not what it is with Malik Willis in this case. It'll simply be a case of when are they comfortable with him enough to think he can be a number two guy. Even if he's not as good a number two as Logan Woodside, that's when he's going to be the number two. And the same thing when it comes to being the starter. As soon as they think he knows enough and can do enough that he's a starter, that's when they say, Ryan Tannehill, good luck and Godspeed. Malik Willis is our guy going forward. So that's what this whole preseason now, it seems like, is going to be about, is how much game experience can Malik Willis get, and how much will it benefit him in terms of, you know, speeding the learning curve?
We're talking to the great David Beauclair, the esteemed journalist, one of the best, one of my favorite in the world. David, so good to talk to you. Carol and I were talking earlier. I think they flipped the script this week and let Logan Woodside get all the reps that Malik Willis did going against the Buccaneers. Your opinion, though, David, on the third preseason game, do you think whoever starts that game is the backup quarterback heading into the season? And I think whoever that quarterback is, they should play him the entire game, because that's the last time he's going to see that type of competition until the regular season, and God forbid anything happens to Ryan Tannehill. But do you think that third preseason game, whoever starts, will be the backup heading into the regular season?
You know, I don't think they've probably made that decision yet. I think there's merit to what you say in terms of give a guy an entire game, whichever one it is. That's what we've seen with Logan Woodside a couple times here in 2019 and in 2021. But again, I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks. I really doubt that Woodside is going to get, that Willis is going to get to the point that they're comfortable with him being a number two and being the guy who can who can start a couple games in the event Ryan Tannehill turns an ankle or something like that. But I do think, you know, that Willis is the kind of guy that you can do some things with from a package standpoint and some specialized plays, sort of what you saw the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson his rookie year. There's probably some of that stuff that we're not going to see in the preseason that they'll start rolling out in the regular season. So it wouldn't surprise me if this week we see a similar sort of quarterback rotation where maybe, you know, Willis even plays three full quarters, and then to your point, in the third season game, you just give it Woodside and say, here you go, get yourself ready for the regular season, and we'll let you know if we need you.
Were you shocked there was not more plays designed for Treylon Burks last night? I was telling Caroline earlier, I think the first play of the game, David, should have been a straight post down the middle of the field, throw the ball as far as you can. Let's just see out of the gates how Burks can separate. Let's see his burst of speed. Let's see how he does. And maybe there's a home run ball there. I was disappointed I didn't see a couple specific plays just for Treylon Burks last night.
Yeah, targeted one time in the pass game. I mean, he did take the handoff in the jet sweep, gained 4 yards with it. Mike Vrabel talked about it here this afternoon, said there were some opportunities for him there that he described Burks' performance last night as sort of inconsistent and not quite what they had hoped for in based on what they had seen on the practice field sort of through training camp and leading up to this game. So it's I guess maybe the best you hope for at this point is that it's sort of a microcosm of what we've seen with Burks so far. It was a terrible start to the off season, and you know, things were much better when training camp arrived. Not a great start to the preseason. Probably he'll get better and if it's not a great start to the Ravens, and it'll at least be respectable then at that point. But that's that seems to be what's emerging is sort of his MO is that he has to work his way into things. But there's no question that there will be stuff in the playbook specifically for Treylon Burks at some point this year, and what he does with it, I guess that's up to him.
David Beauclair is with us. David, while we're on the subject of Treylon Burks, Mike Vrabel mentioned in his press conference today that he was inconsistent last night and that he wanted to see more of Treylon Burks' progress that he's made in practice translate into the game. What exactly do you think was inconsistent about Treylon Burks last night? And should Titans fans be concerned about what seems to be kind of an issue with consistency with Treylon Burks?
Yeah, I think it's details so much of passing game these days is, if we tell you to be at the 32-yard line, two steps right of the left hash. You have to be at the 32-yard line, two steps right of the left hash. You know, it's
right.
Three steps right and whatnot. And I think there's probably some of those details that certainly Burks had his opportunities. He was on the field for 30 plays with the offense. The only wide receiver who was on the field more than that was Mason Kinsey. So certainly they gave Burks every opportunity to sort of show them what they wanted to see, and he didn't do enough of it. And you wonder too, you know, how many times there, when Malik Willis was running or maybe not seeing the field clearly, was he open in some of those situations? I don't know. I guess if you want to take an optimistic view, the good news is that the conditioning certainly wasn't an issue if he was playing. If he was more snaps than most every other wide receiver last night.
That is important.
Yeah, you know, so it was only a bunch of offensive linemen other than Kinsey and then Logan Woodside who managed to have, you know, put together as a quarterback got more snaps than he did last night. So that, you know, not that anybody on the offense, because it wasn't a great night for the offense overall. I don't think it was a physically challenging night in terms of staying on the field for a long time. But you know, this is again, Treylon Burks is in a terrible situation based on the expectations for him. It would have been one thing if AJ Brown hadn't been traded and they brought him in, and you say, okay, now he's going to be another A.J. Brown. You know, it would have given him time to sort of evolve into that and whatever his growth curve is going to be. But everybody's expecting him to be A.J. Brown right now, and that is highly unlikely to happen, and it's gonna make everything, you know, that much more dramatic in terms of a night like this where you say, God, one carry for 4 yards, one target, no catches in the passing game. It's, you know, they need so much more than that from him, and they do. And I guess the good thing is it's the preseason, and there's still time for him to be better than that.
We're talking to David Beauclair, just left the Titans press conference with Mike Vrabel. David, I need to see I like your question about the O-line, and I need to see a little more respect from Vrabel when he's answering your question. So maybe we could work on that at some point, because you are what I think the best journalist around. Now, let me ask you this, though. The offensive line, how much do you think they just want Dylan Raiens to say, this is my job, I'm going to take it, you're not going to take it away from me? Would that make life a lot easier for Vrabel and these guys going forward if Raiens just declared himself and proved himself to be the guy at right tackle?
Yeah, it would make life a lot easier for them, but clearly that hasn't happened. You know, training camp has, I think he had every opportunity to do that, Joe. As training camp has gone on, the coaches have rotated he and Nicholas Petitfrere much more often than they did early on. You know, the first few days of camp, it looked like they walked in, these are our starting five, let's go. And you know, I interpret it as Raiden's hasn't done enough from a performance standpoint, maybe a personality standpoint, but I think that's probably secondary and maybe overhyped a little bit. I mean, he's a nice guy, right? He's just not going to say anything that could be construed with him or be construed as him saying something negative about a teammate or whatever. But I don't think he's done enough. I do think the good news, if you're Dylan Raiens, is that he only played 7 snaps last night, so it's not like they were saying you've got to show us something, but and we're going to leave you out there until you do, or you know. So they feel like they know what they have in him at this point, and they're convinced that it's enough, and that if maybe Nicholas Petitfrere can maybe give them a little something. So, you know, this is something that's going to continue to be an issue. I think the left guard thing is settled. You know, Aaron Brewer, I don't think there's any question will be the left guard week one, assuming he's healthy. But this right tackle situation is going to continue, I think, very much through the next couple weeks of joint workouts and see how these guys do against defensive linemen from the Buccaneers and the Cardinals. And those practices are going to be as critical, maybe if not more so, than the season games, because of the caliber of players they're going to be going against.
And the joint practices are going to be very telling. And I think this offensive line unit, especially the right tackle and the left guard open positions, are really interesting. So coming up next, I want to get David Beauclair's thoughts even more on that. So he'll stick around with us on the other side. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, in for Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. It's 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, in for Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But David Beauclair joins us now. David, before the break, we were talking about the offensive line group. And I think it's a really interesting battle. And I think what they did last night, starting Nicholas Petitfrere at left tackle, Dylan Raidens at right, take Dylan Raidens out, swing Nicholas Petitfrere over to the right side. Just based off of that last night and what I heard Vrabel say today, when he talked about Dylan and Nick, he said, Nick's been doing good things. Dylan was there. So that's kind of telling to me that they're liking what Nicholas Petitfrere is doing. They're liking how he's coming along.
Yeah, you can't help but wonder about the caliber of competition these guys faced in college, right? You're talking about North Dakota State versus Ohio State, about Dylan Raidens playing one game his senior year, and so not much at all last year either. And Nicholas Petitfrere against the caliber of teams he did every week. You know how much of a difference that makes. But one thing to consider in this too that I don't know gets a lot of discussion when this comes up is both these guys were primarily left tackles in college, and the switch from the left side to the right side is a little different than a little more, I guess, extreme than a lot of people would probably realize. And it's not as simple as all I think would want it to be. And so the interesting aspect of this is if whichever one of these guys does not win the right tackle job this year, the consolation prize could be that you're the left tackle a year from now. You know, if part of the reason is because you're just much more comfortable on the left side, and let's face it, you know, we saw Dylan Raidens against San Francisco in that primetime game last year, and he was, you know, he wasn't blowing people, but he was respectable and he backed and whatnot. You know, Taylor Lewan is 31 years old, not getting any younger. He's going to his ninth season now. He had the issues with the off and on last year. If that becomes a problem, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this is Taylor Lewan's last season with Tennessee. So, you know, it could be that you just have to bide your time, and then a year from now you're the left tackle. So whoever doesn't win it, it's not necessarily the end of the world for that guy and this team and his long-term future, if you will.
And you bring up a fair point, because I always wonder, did the Titans draft Nicholas Petitfrere with the intentions of him sitting a year, learning the offense, kind of getting acclimated, and then coming in as the heir apparent to the left tackle position whenever Taylor Lewan inevitably is no longer a Tennessee Titan? Or did they draft him saying, hey, this is just a really good lineman? He was one of the top tackle recruits coming out of high school. He can do a lot of really good things. Maybe we can swing him over to the right side. I do wonder, were there intentions with Nicholas Petitfrere to eventually take over that left tackle position solely, or did they want a little bit of competition at this right tackle spot? Did they just not believe in what Dylan Raidens could do?
Yeah, I think it was, he looks like the guy who's going to be our left tackle someday, and we're not convinced with the guy we drafted at right tackle, so he gives us a backup plan. You know, it's not this coaching staff, but certainly there is the precedent for that sort of move with this franchise when you go back to Mike Bruce in 2004, 2005, back then or whatever. He was a second round pick, started the whole season at right tackle, and then the next year Brad Hopkins is gone and Michael Roos settles in at left tackle and he stays there for the rest of his career. So it's it's a thing that can be done in this league, and guys who can handle that, and certainly a third round draft pick, a guy who played multiple positions at Ohio State the way Petit did, you would certainly think that is a possibility for this team.
We're talking to the great David Beauclair.
In the big picture, I guess.
We're talking to the great David Beauclair this morning, this afternoon on 102.5 The Game. David, let me ask you this. How much of the joint practices changed the narrative of the preseason games? Because now you get that great work in 2 days before the game happens, and that way you see a lot of those one-on-one battles. And the preseason game is still important, but not as important, because now you see those really cool one-on-one battles. How much has this changed the way teams approach a preseason game now?
Yeah, dramatically, Joe. It's funny, you know. I asked Ryan Tannehill the other day if ultimately it's not his choice, but if he wanted to get a little work preseason, thought that was necessary as part of his preparation, and he talked about how good it is going against the Titans defense every day in practice, how much they get from that, and then you're going to bring in two other defenses, and those practices are going to be this and that. There's no doubt that these things have become vogue because players don't want to play in the preseason, coaches don't want to play their best players in the preseason. You have a certain amount, yes, players can get hurt in practice, but you do have a certain amount of control over things, and there is the understanding that you're going to thud guys, but you're not going to be tackling them and taking them to the ground. The chances of somebody rolling up on another guy's ankle or knee are greatly reduced at that point. So they're competitive periods. Guys' competitive juices, naturally start flowing, and there's a lot of work. So it feels like that for the. The Ryan Tannehills and the Kevin Byards and the Jeffrey Simmons and so on of this group, that these next 2 weeks, that Wednesday and Thursday are the biggest days of the preseason and training camp for these guys, because this is when they're really going to get their work in and when they're really going to hone in on what they need to get done to be ready for the regular season.
I totally agree with you on that. And it's great as well, because I often reference back to 2019, watching Brady come in here and with the joint practice with the Patriots, and he just dissected the Titans up and down the field. And Mariota was awful during those things, and Tannehill was really good. I mean, you see a lot of things, David, and you saw, you were out there as well, in those one-on-ones that you will not see in a preseason game. That's why I think going forward, we're going to see more and more of these joint practices with teams, because that's great work that you're not going to get on a preseason game, which you just alluded to, that nobody really wants to play in, and to see these guys go out there and do that. I mean, I took a lot away that from that 2019 practice with Tom Brady, watching what he up and down the field and the coaching that goes on individually right there. It's fascinating to watch, if you're a football fan, how that all comes together.
Yeah, Brady was something to see, and it sounds like he's not going to be here for the workouts now, which is disappointing, because the one thing I noticed when Brady was here is that guy did more coaching than the coaches did.
Right.
I mean, after every rep, he was talking to a receiver or a lineman or something, and you could see he was gesturing, I need this, you need that. Brady is really worth the price of admission for these kinds of practices and things. When you get the chance to see him, it's something. And getting the Cardinals in here and watching Kyler Murray run around and do his thing, and I think it'll be fun to sort of compare and contrast some of his athleticism and what he does with Malik Willis, because they're similarly built guys. They play stylistically, they have a lot of similarities, so that's going to be really fun for me too.
David Beauclair is with us, and I think you bring up a very good point about the joint practices, because I said this yesterday. I view the preseason games of who are guys that maybe haven't carved out a starting role for themselves. How can they do that? How can they make a name for themselves in the preseason? And then it's really put to test in those joint practices, because you're not going up against second and third team defensive backs or defensive linemen or offensive linemen, whatever that might be. You're going up against certified starters. So I'm really interested to see, and these joint practices against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what guys that shined in the preseason game, let's say maybe a Julius Chestnut or an Aaron Brewer, how many first team reps are they going to take, and how are they going to look against Tampa Bay's first team as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's I think the big thing, if you're going to single out somebody and say who is this first week, you know, this coming week, who is this really big, who is this really important for? I think it's probably Caleb Farley, right? I mean, Farley guy. Yes. There's so much expectations on him and what he could do. You know, Vrabel was sort of lukewarm about his performance. Last night had similar things to say today. When you look at the Bears wide receiver group and Mike Evans in particular, you know, that size on size matchup is really going to be compelling and interesting. Like back to Joe's point in 2019, I remember they came in here and Mike Evans kind of had his way with Logan Ryan, and you were thinking, oh God, you know, this is Logan Ryan's time done, and Logan Ryan terrific in that year. So whether he learned then about where he was in his career, or if that told him I need to be better at these sorts of things going forward, you know, he was a really good player that season. And Farley, I think, is a guy who this is going to speed his education in one way or another, based on the caliber of guys he's going to be going against every rep.
With that, David, one more question. I like this because you were there, you know, the 2000s and all the training camps. I just remember the talk around. Remember Joel Filani, the receiver? Was it Texas Tech? Did a great
camp. That's correct.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Came in, had the great camp and all the buzz, and just didn't make the team. And it's like, you know, got these buzz, these great guys, and then just once the season starts, they just gone and get out of there. And so many guys have come through in those times in training camp. It always goes back to one guy, though. One guy who came in, didn't have a chance, didn't care if he made the team or not, and that was Drew Bennett. And I mean, if every free agent can have, undrafted free agent, can have the Drew Bennett attitude, like, if I make it, great. If not, my life goes on. It'd be much better. And that's when we go back to, I always gravitate back towards him, David, because he was a guy not on anybody's radar, shows up, nobody even heard of this guy, basically makes a team, had a nice career here, and ends up with a nice career in the NFL. So I like stories like that when you come out of training camp. I don't know if we see one this year or not.
Yeah, you know, Brad Castle's another one who, you know, ended up becoming a starting linebacker for this team for a couple years. And, you know, I think if you're going to base it off last night, for example, a guy like David Nene, out of Houston, you know, had the two sacks, the forced fumble, you know, did that sort of thing. The other one who's getting who's, you know, coaches have quietly been talking about throughout the offseason, certainly since the start of camp, and then the volume sort of turned up last week, is Jack Gibbons, the inside
yes.
linebacker. You know, like he's a guy, it seems like, you know, you're going to see Gibbons playing a ton of special team snaps in these next two preseason games. I can all but guarantee that, because they want to know if he's, you know, if you're going to be a backside linebacker on this team, you're going to have to play special team snaps a bunch. And so I think he's at that point now where they're going to throw all sorts of special teams and stuff at him. And if he shows handle it, he's a guy who has a chance to be on the 53 at the start of the regular season.
David Beauclair, we appreciate you. We'll see you around St. Thomas Sports Park next week.
Always a pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, yeah, thanks, David. David Beauclair, he is the best. Appreciate him joining us on the program. But coming up next, a quick little Titans breather, because there is a wee bit of a scandal going around the college sports world, and I think that is just absolutely ridiculous. I want to touch on that. Plus, your chance to win Michael Bublé tickets. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, in for Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. It's 102.5-106.3, The Game.
And I'm feeling good.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5-106.3, The Game. Hey, you can tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan as they play a doubleheader. The Sounds are home at First Horizon Park, taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Joe Dubin. You have a trivia question for the people for their opportunity to go see Michael Bublé. Let's hear it.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so we had a trivia question earlier. We had a winner as well. The question earlier was, Mike Vrabel was traded from the Patriots to the Chiefs in 2009. He was also traded with a former Titans quarterback in that. That was Matt Castle, was traded with Vrabel to the Chiefs back then. So our question, we're going to go to the 2016 NFL Draft. Derrick Henry taken the second round. Who was the one running back taken ahead of Derrick Henry in the 2016 draft? What running back was taken ahead of Derrick Henry in the 2016 draft? Another question I was going to use is that 30 teams, including the Titans, passed on Derrick Henry in the first round. Titans were one of those. The other team that passed on Derrick Henry in the first round, well, because they didn't have a first-round pick, was the New England Patriots. But our question right now is, what running back, the only running back taken ahead of Derrick Henry in the 2016 NFL draft at Carolina, you might remember that was the year like they started devaluing running backs throughout the league. Now running backs are no good. It's now a wide receiver game. If you take a running back, you're so stupid. It's not going to pan out, yada, yada, yada. But we know in all things, especially NFL, it's cyclical and it comes back around where you really need a good running back on your football team. So the question, call in and will Michael Bublé tickets, the one running back taken ahead of Derrick Henry in the 2016 NFL draft.
I'm sure the Titans are appreciating all of those teams that passed on Derrick Henry because, hey, the king for a reason. Let the big dog eat. So be the first caller with the correct answer and you will get your tickets to go see Michael Bublé. But another thing that I want to touch on to take a quick Titans breather. I was going through Twitter yesterday and I found this video and I'll play it for you all first just so you can hear it and I'll give my thoughts after. But this is John Calipari that I saw a video of him on Twitter yesterday. This was in a private interview at his house and this was a clip from the interview.
It's the job of all of us, but this is a basketball school. And so we need to keep moving in that direction and keep doing what we're doing. You got to be intentional. You got to say we're doing this. And the reason is this is a basketball school. It's always been there. Alabama is a football school. So is Georgia. I mean, they are.
Right.
This is a bad. Don't dis our football team. I hope they win games and 10 games and go to bowls. At the end of the day, that makes my job easier and it makes the job of all of us easier. But this is a basketball school. And so we need to keep moving in that direction and keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, so that was John Calipari, and that was kind of his campaigning for getting a basketball practice facility. So let me preface this by saying Kentucky is a basketball school. That's where they found the most success. That's where they win the most games. Kentucky is known as a college basketball blue blood. Kentucky is a basketball school. But another layer to this is that Mark Stoops, head football coach at Kentucky, quote tweeted this clip that was released yesterday on Twitter and said, basketball school, I thought that we competed in the SEC, hashtag four straight postseason wins. So this created this entire social media wildfire about how Kentucky is a basketball over a football school and this feuding between John Calipari and Mark Stoops and basketball players versus football players. And let me just say this. I think that's so embarrassing on Kentucky's part. I think that looks so bad for the athletic program, for each individual program itself, and also Kentucky athletics as a program as a whole, that there's an inside feud against each other. I think that looks bad. I think it's immature on Cal. I think it's immature on Mark Stoops to even entertain it on social media. I think it looks bad for recruits who are looking to go to Kentucky. Like, look, hey, I didn't sign up to get, you know, basketball versus football here. I thought everybody eats here. And then I saw Brian Harsin. I saw Bruce Pearl. I saw Josh Heupel and other Tennessee football and basketball players kind of playing off of this to try and hype up their own programs. I just think it was a very bad look for Cal, for Stoops, for Kentucky as a whole. Why even entertain this little social media feud? Because I think it makes Kentucky look bad.
I totally agree with you that I hadn't heard that until you played that right there. And that, you know, and he's right. Kentucky is a basketball school. Alabama is a football school.
You're not wrong.
Let me tell you something that makes me laugh. And Rexford probably knows about this story too as well. So in the late 90s, Rick Pitino could have been the head basketball coach at Michigan. And Bo Schembechler's up there. And so it came out that Pitino was going to make more money, allegedly, than the head football coach at Michigan. And Bo Schembechler came out and said, as long as I'm alive, he tragically passed away 15 years ago or so. He was the athletic director, and he said, as long as I am at Michigan, the basketball coach will never make more than the head football coach because we are a football school. I got no problem saying you're Kentucky, you're a football school or basketball school. That doesn't bother me. So that's all good right there. But when you get a little infighting that goes on, and that's ironic because do you see the picture that Bruce Pearl posted today? And I didn't understand it, but now I do. Him and the head football coach were posing together, basically said, all for one, one for all. And I was like, what is that about? Something going on?
That was a dig at Kentucky.
Yeah, so I love it, you know, and if it does, you're right. And, you know, as Abe Lincoln rightfully said, a house divided cannot stand. And then that's just not good. I mean, you want everybody to be on the same page. You know, with the athletic director calling both these guys into the office, say, look, let's don't do this right now. Because Kentucky football, as you well know, Caroline, is on is trending upward in a way they've never done. Ever. I mean, they were good, a great team in 84, but that's a long, long time ago. But the success they've sustained over the last, since Stoops has been there since 2013, is really good. You don't need this.
Yeah, and I always say recruiting is hard enough. Don't make your job more difficult than it needs to be. And don't give any other program that you're competing against any fuel to their fire to your dismay.
Right.
And I just think, you know, if Cal wants to call it a basketball school, fine. He's the head basketball coach, and it is a basketball school. But don't entertain it on social media, and don't make it a bigger deal than it needs to be. Don't be immature. Acting like, you know, middle schoolers out there talking about who, you know, what kind of school we are. It's, you know, everybody does their job, and don't make it more difficult than it needs to be. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your Titans thoughts, plus what were some of our biggest takeaways from the Titans preseason game last night? What can we look forward to in the future for the Tampa Bay combined practices? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, and 1025-1063, the game. Chase, Billy, and D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin in for Chase, Willie, and D. Mace. First and foremost, want to congratulate Robert, who was our winner of the Michael Bublé tickets. So congratulations to him. You're going to see the King of Christmas himself, Michael Bublé. But Joe, unless you have a thought, the people have some Titans questions and thoughts.
Let it go. Let's hear from them.
To the phones. Ty texts in and says, for anyone to judge Logan Woodside when he had a defensive lineman in his face every snap is crazy. Give him a pass for last night. Why should I give Logan Woodside a pass?
What's going to happen in a regular season game when somebody gets in his face? You're right.
And it's going to be defensive. And I don't know, you know, who was a starter for the Ravens that was in last night that's going to be a starter in the regular season. I didn't do a full breakdown of the Ravens defensive line, but the defensive lineman that you're going to go up against in a regular season game are only going to be better and more difficult and more in Logan Woodside's face if he is in a regular season game. So I'm not giving anyone a pass for what they did last night, especially when Logan Woodside made mistakes so egregious like he did last night.
Yeah, I'm that's what we talked about earlier. I mean, the question that Vrabel's asked today is under pressure. What happens when he comes in the week five and Tannehill gets knocked out, God forbid, and you're going to face pressure then? Are you going to not be able to handle it? I mean, that's not a good excuse right there for Logan.
Yeah, and that goes back to exactly what Paul Kaharsky was asking Mike Vrabel. Like, hey, if it was pressure last night, that's not going anywhere. And if he's feeling pressure last night, well, where is all that experience that Logan Woodside already has under his belt? Because whenever I make the argument that Logan Woodside should be the backup or will be the backup coming into the regular season, it's because he has experience. It's because he knows this offense. Well, if you're not going to use that experience in your corner, then what's it even there for? But Phil texts in and says, Woodside is very lucky to still be on an NFL roster as a backup. He shouldn't even be on a practice squad. I'm not going to go that far. I don't know what quarterbacks are on different practice squads across the NFL, but I can only imagine that there are some pretty awful quarterbacks on practice squads throughout the NFL. And when it comes down to it, the Titans could move on from Logan Woodside if they wanted to. Last year, Matt Barkley was on this team during training camp,
right?
And they chose Logan Woodside over Matt Barkley. They could. They just signed him to a year deal this past season. So they could have moved on from Logan Woodside, but they didn't. So I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's not even good enough to be on a practice squad.
Yo, and I'm with you. And again, he might go out this week versus the Buccaneers and have an amazing practice and be fantastic and then reset the narrative of like, all right, what are we going to do now? He's really good. And Willis might regress. Or at the same time, you know, Malik Willis might take a next step up and Logan might take a step down. And then you're like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do here? What's going to happen? And then you got that third playoff preseason game. It'll play itself out. So there's a lot of still questions that are here that you could see and kind of they'll work themselves out. But I think with Woodside now, he's still the favorite, but he's got two more chances to really solidify that backup spot. It'll be interesting to watch what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And another texter checks in and says, what are everyone's thoughts on the defense, especially the secondary? In terms of the secondary, I would say Chris Jackson got burned several times last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw one of that beautiful pass from Tyler Huntley. It was like a 20-yard touchdown pass. Chris Jackson was in coverage there. I mean, you can't let that happen. So, but that wasn't the only instance. He seemed to consistently get burned. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's it. You know, and you want to see that. I mean, like Farley played good. He made some great tackles, didn't get burned too bad, and was where he needed to be. But I mean, that's the thing. You know, all too often we see during the regular season there's going to be injuries, right? So there'll be a guy that plug in. So say if, I don't know, a lineman gets injured and you plug one of these other linemen in there, well, you still got three starters out there next to you who have been there and go on. So you're not asking to save the world. Again, but if you want a guy to step in there and to proceed and to assume that he's going to take the role and he works hard for it, like Vrabel's talking about, we want to mm-hmm. see the guys who want to be here and they're tough and they're, you know, he always says that one word, Caroline, coachable.
Yeah,
he uses that word all the time, and I get it. I mean, you want a guy that could come in and say, for example, real quick, I've talked to some coaches who have gotten players in from the portal in college, right? And they've come in from the schools, and they're not working hard enough. Well, you know, I did this at this other school. I did this. I don't have to do that. And Vrabel's basically saying, look, I don't care what you did someplace else. I'm going to coach you, right? Are you coachable? Will you listen to me? Can we help you? And that goes a long way, especially with these guys on defense, with the DBs, because, you know, we talk about having a short memory. You get burned, let it go. You've got to let it go and move on to the next one with that. And I going back again, a game that all Titans fans remember, it's a Brady game, 2009 in New England. Brady just destroyed the Titans up there with Randy Moss, and Michael Griffin at the time had an awful day. And he admitted, he said, I let the last play affect me for that play, and then I let that play affect me for the upcoming play. So you get into the minds of these things. So if they get guys that go in defense who have a short memory, can really work hard and use that word coachable, I think they'll be just fine. Because, again, I told you this, that Titans offensive line, those four guys up front, if they could dominate like they did last year, this could be a really good football team.
And I always – after last year, I've learned to be cautiously optimistic with what was successful last year, because I think going into the 2021 season, I think all of us, or at least I know myself, I went into the 21 season thinking, well, you know, this will be just a very seamless transition from the offense of 2020. It's going to be a top 10 offense, and if the defense can just carry a little bit of the load, then this could be a Super Bowl contender team. But that was making a big assumption that the offense was going to remain the same that it was in 2020, because I think it was very obvious. We all understood the offense in 2021 was not nearly good enough, but it was the defense that picked up a lot of the slack. Now, I don't predict that the defense is going to take a step back, not even nearly or dramatically as much as the offense did from 2020 to 2021, because you've got this defensive line that as a unit has a year under their belts together. That you have Danico Autry and Bud Dupree in here for another year. You have Bud Dupree that's fully healthy. He even said he didn't even really feel like himself until the Cincinnati game. So yeah, to your point, I don't have a reason to think that this front four is going to take a step back, because there hasn't been any changes. But I also don't want to assume that it's going to be the exact same, that's going to continue to be, you know, a nine sacks and a playoff. playoff game kind of defensive line because you just never know.
Right, and I'm excited to see that line this week when the Buccaneers come in here and the practices and the one-on-ones and everything like that, things you will not see in a preseason game, as our good friend David Beauclair alluded to earlier. I mean, there's so much more work, so much more intense one-on-one work you'll see this week that you will not see in a preseason game. So hopefully, you know, I'm not sure if you let – Jeffrey Simmons get out there, or Bud Dupree. I would like to see them at some point in the preseason, maybe just for a little bit, not in the preseason, but in the joint practices. Because, Caroline, you can't go into every practice, God, I hope he doesn't get hurt. God, I hope he doesn't get hurt. You just can't do that. You just can't have that mindset going in, because what happens, you get hurt. I mean, you just got to go out and play the game of football. If injuries happen, and they go. But at some point, I'd like to see those front four a little work in the preseason, whether it be in a game or these joint practices. I'd like to see that.
And I think you'll likely see it in the joint practices. I don't think you're going to see that front four in a preseason game. I don't think that they want to weigh the risks of injury before you even get into the regular season. You know, if we're talking about this defensive line that was such a huge force this last year, I assume it's going to continue to be that. Of course, you don't want to assume, but you can think that it will be. I don't think they're going to take any risks in preseason games. I think they're going to let some of these other guys get snaps, and you're going to see a majority of the work getting done in joint practices. But that is going to do it for us today. Joe Toobin, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yes, ma'am. It was always good to talk to you and see you. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday.
Thank you. Yep, Stillman & Company has got you covered with the biggest takeaways from the Titans preseason game last night. We'll see y'all Monday at 10.
Guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.